Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Are you okay?
Jury's still out on that.
Boy, I tell you, it's been a rough show for you.
It's been a rough week.
What's been rough about it? We've run one guest after another through here talking about various candidates.
Oh, it's just, today's the day, tomorrow's the day, when's the day, make sure this is the day.
Oh, whoa. What did I say whole time?
Listen, this is not you. This has nothing to do with you. You actually said that you thought this would be done. Friday you said it would be done in a week.
Yeah.
And you're off by 24 hours. It's not bad.
Okay. There's a process. You have to know the personnel involved. Dave Joyner is very much a process guy. Likes to follow through the process all the way through. I'm telling you right now, this is, if it's the who is being reported, this is a home run hire. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Kevin, right now, you could use not just the pickle bar, but maybe drink the juice from the pickle bar.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Right now, I think you need it. A little chaser for you. Fresh hot roasted peanuts. Great, great selection of snacks. Awesome selection of beer, soda. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Now, we're going to take a break from the James Franklin watch for a moment. Okay, we have correspondents in Nashville,
feet on the ground.
Latrobe, Johnstown. In fact, we have someone embedded in the Franklin family. I'm just kidding. An embedded reporter.
I just talked to the janitor, and the office at Vandy has still not been cleaned out yet. So,
I see. Actually, there is one person at Vanderbilt I did talk to today. So, sort of high up in the chain. I think you would think that Kevin Stallings, the basketball coach, is a high up in the athletic chain at Vanderbilt, wouldn't you?
No, I would think so. There's a lot of money in Vanderbilt basketball.
Great guy, by the way. The reason I know Kevin is because his son Jacob played for the State College Spikes in the summer of 2012. Kevin spent a lot of time up here. So, all right, Jerome Bettis. We need to take just a quick break. Kevin, I'm going to bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, okay?
Yeah.
And we're going to legitimately talk about the Bettis candidacy.
You haven't legitimately talked about it once, so I'm going to be excited to hear this.
This will be great. I think you finished the sixth. All right, no, just kidding, Kev. Tony, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Always happy to join you guys. How's everybody this new year?
Doing very well, and happy new year to you, Tony. I want to get to the Hall of Fame ballot first. Jerome Bettis is back on. It has been a struggle for him on this ballot. Does it look like it's actually opened up a little bit for him?
I think so, too. I think it's been a struggle, but it's probably been a fair struggle. I mean, he was eligible the same year as two other great running backs, Marshall Faulk and Curtis Martin. Both of those guys are in. I think that a lot of people looked at it and thought, well, he may have to wait a year or two. Certainly Faulk will probably go in first. Then you can debate who goes in next. And obviously it was Curtis Martin. I do think that things have opened up a little bit. I would hope that this is Jerome's year. I think he's deserving. No other big back quite like him who was as durable, as big and as durable. Now, a lot of that is simply because Jerome was an awfully big guy. But, you know, those big backs take a lot of beating. Jerome certainly did. And he was the face of the Steelers for a, frankly, for a generation, to be honest with you. And, you know, I think he, if he doesn't get in this year, then I would be a little bit concerned that it may take, you know, some time and it could be, you know, it could become an issue.
Yeah, I think so, too, because in the NFL, number one, they're restricted on the number. I think it's, what, five? I think five's the number out of that group. I think, what, two the old-timers group, correct? And Ray Guy's gone into that group now.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Ray Guy's in the old timers group. Is it five total or seven total?
I'm not 100% sure, including the
old timers, but
I think it's five. It's seven total, five out of the new group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So you know, I think Walter Jones is a guy who's up this year. He's a nine-time All-Pro. He should probably be a guy that goes in. Michael Strahan looks like he should be in. Right. And I know I'm missing somebody else who looks like they'd be a lot.
Tim Brown.
Who's a first-time.
Tim Brown.
First-time guy.
Is Tim Brown a first-time guy?
Well, Tim Brown's back again. Yeah. I believe he was. He's already been up, and he's not in yet. So, you know, receivers certainly have a tough time, and I think we're going to find Hines Ward is going to have to wait his turn if indeed he's able to get in there. When you look at guys who aren't in, it took Chris Carter a long, long time to get in. So it's tough, you know. And frankly, Steve, that's probably how it should be, especially coming on the heels of the mess that we have as the Baseball Hall of Fame.
All right, yeah, the Baseball Hall of Fame thing with Dan Le Batard giving his vote to Deadspin.com, which was certainly interesting. Yes, Strahan, Derek Brooks, Tim Brown, Walter Jones, Jerome Bettis, Morton Anderson, Kevin Green, Charles Haley, one of the great winners ever, Marvin Harrison, Aeneas Williams, John Lynch, Andre Reed, Will Shields, Tony Dungy, and Eddie DeBartolo Jr. Okay. Those
These are the guys. Things at once, that becomes a pretty impressive group of names. Also makes me feel a little bit old.
Right.
I guess that's what these Hall of Fame ballots do, right?
Yeah, but here's the 10 who didn't make it. Steve Atwater, Roger Craig, Terrell Davis, Joe Jacoby, Carl Mecklenburg, Steve Wisniewski, Jimmy Johnson, Don Coryell, Paul Tagliabue, George Young. In all honesty,
George Young.
Right, George Young, who was, you know, the Giants GM for years, Dolphins, Colts, so forth. I look at this group, and immediately two guys in that group, and I say this with all due respect to Steeler fans, that I would pick over Jerome Bettis would be Roger Craig and Steve Wisniewski.
Well, you know, the first thing that jumped out to me was Steve Atwater, who was, I think one of the best safeties of his time. So, it's a difficult process, no question about it. Again, I think that's how it should be. You hope that there's enough room for all these guys to get in. I mean, speaking for Steelers fans, all you have to do is take a look at some of the old-time Steelers who waited a long, long, long time.
John Henry Johnson.
To get in. Yeah, and, you have to wait your turn in the NFL, and I know people will complain if Bettis doesn't get in this year. I can understand that, but at the same time, that's a long line. You got to pay your dues, and again, Chris Carter, to me, jumps out as the most recent example of a guy who did wait his turn, certainly.
Yeah, no question about that. Usually you get to this time of the year, and if a coach stays, when there's been a little bit of a struggle along the way, sometimes they change staff. Has Mike Tomlin thought about changing staff?
No, that's a great question. I do think that his defensive coordinator will make that decision on his own. I think that if Dick LeBeau wants to come back, he will be coming back. And quite frankly, I don't think you're going to see a major staff, change at this point. We've already seen the offensive line coach let go. Looks like they're going to hire internally there. I don't know that you're going to see any other changes at this point. Like you just said, I think that that time has probably come and gone. And quite frankly, Todd Haley over the last 6-8 weeks of the year may have saved his job.
Right. Man, I agree with that. I think he did. Any movement by the Pirates on anything?
Crickets. All crickets, Steve. You look at that a couple of ways. I mean, one, they're an organization that can't afford to get in a bidding war. And I think example one of that would be, Marlon Byrd going to the Phillies. I think that would have been ridiculous for the Pirates to pay that kind of money for Marlon Byrd.
Great.
However, you look at the first base situation that they're in, and they don't have a first baseman. I mean, I don't know if they're going to try to You know, you keep hearing the possible trade for Ike Davis, but that window seems to have possibly closed as well. And it really has been nothing but crickets. I mean, you see the occasional minor league contract, and that's all fine and good, but you're not going to strike gold with that every time. Maybe you get a guy who can help you for a couple of weeks when someone gets hurt later on in the year with most of those minor league contracts. So they haven't done anything, Steve. They've been, you know, you can argue whether they've been patient or whether they just have been too cheap. There's probably a little bit of truth on both of those ends.
Yeah, they've done pretty well in recent years with the minor league contract translating to a major league player.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, I mean, you know, they signed guys like Jason Grilli that way.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of under-the-radar type signings that certainly have worked out. And, heck, I just mentioned Marlon Byrd. He was a minor league contract signing last year by the Mets. So those things can and will, you know, pay dividends. You know, how big a dividend, you don't really know. The Pirates made some minor moves. They did tighten some things up with the infield and added some depth, you know, to back up Russell Martin behind the plate. But, you know, no major moves, and they still have the two big holes that, frankly, were holes for them going into the playoffs last year. They made a couple of trades to shore those up in right field and at first base. But those were rental players in Justin Morneau and Marlon Byrd. They've since moved on, and those holes still exist as they, you know, try to compete with the rest of the division. You know, you have to make moves, and they haven't done any. And you look at the pitching staff. Ray Searage this week said he highly doubts that AJ Burnett comes back as well. So, you know, there's a hole on the in the major league rotation as well.
Tony, a pleasure as always. Happy New Year. Great to have you back.
Happy New Year. Thanks, guys.
Do you feel better now? That was a serious discussion of your guy.
That was probably the first time you've had a serious discussion about Jerome Bettis going into the Hall of Fame. And I do agree with you on Roger Craig 100%. I think you're right. Roger Craig, I would put above Jerome Bettis, believe it or not.
Just think, great all-around player. Did it consistently at a high level. I mean, I know he played for a great team. But I think he was one of the reasons they happened to be a great team.
Well, he was tough to defend with his versatility.
Yeah.
You know, you could play fake to him and then all of a sudden dump it off to him as well.
I'll be honest with you, though. I look at the candidacy of everybody this time, and if Jerome Bettis, first of all, I would vote for him. He'd be in my top five. There's no doubt Walter Jones would be in my top five, too. If he doesn't make it this time, I've got a feeling that suddenly this becomes a big-time uphill fight.
I think you're right. As a matter of fact, I thought that after last year. I really did.
It looked like it cleared out a little bit for him this year. So every once in a while, you hit it just right. I mean, you take, like, next year in the baseball, for the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's a little dicey next year. John Smoltz, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez. Really? Wow.
Well, I know you're not going to believe this, but I was a little surprised Kevin Green made the cut.
No, I was surprised Kevin Green made the cut. Kevin Green never lit me up. I thought Kevin Green was a really good football player.
Yes.
But I never once looked at him as a Hall of Fame football player.
No, I didn't either. I'm just saying I think that surprises you that I would think that, being a Steeler fan. I mean, did I like Kevin Green as a Steeler fan? Yeah. Did I think he's a Hall of Fame linebacker? No. He's a really good linebacker.
Yeah, I agree with you. Another guy who gets a lot of pub, and I thought he was a really good coach, but not a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, not on the, you know, is Tony Dungy. That doesn't move the needle much at all for me. And I thought he was really good. Really, really good coach. But
yeah,
I might be
that,
one of the few. Yeah, that doesn't move the needle for me. Steve Wisniewski is one of the best offensive guards that league has ever seen. Now, people claim he's a bit dirty. Now, maybe that works against him. And Roger Craig, those are the only two. Atwater, you know, Tony pushed him. I thought Atwater was really good, but not among the best ever. All right. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Let's get your reaction on the James Franklin situation at 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
January 2014 will be known as the best month Sunbury Motors Hyundai ever had. For the first time ever, Sunbury Motors Hyundai is overstocked with 110 brand new Hyundais. We need to liquidate half of $2.5 million of inventory now. How would you like to buy an $18,400 new Hyundai Elantra for under $16,000? Or $248 per month with tax and tags down? Or a Hyundai Accent for only $14,500? Two brand new Hyundais that come with America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty for under $16,000 is unheard of. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is serious about liquidating half of $2.5 million in new Hyundai inventory now. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
And at sunburymotors.com.
Hurry in and see why January 2014 will be known as the best month Sunbury Motors Hyundai ever had.
Everybody loves you, so don't let them down.
Yeah. I'm going to have to explain that to James Franklin when he gets here.
I don't think he's worried about that little nice little bump music there.
Yeah. Let's see. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Beer, great selection. Soda, awesome selection. Snacks, off the chart selection. Pickle bar, fresh, hot, roasted peanuts. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Oh, man. A nice chat today with Kevin Stallings, the Vanderbilt basketball coach. I know they had a couple things going on with the hoops down there today, obviously. But he still took some time out. We talked for a little bit. Said that he described James Franklin as energetic, high energy, and the media will love him. And I said, well, I said, what about the guys that are going to go to the farm show instead? He goes, yeah, he said, that's going to bother him.
You know, the other thing that we haven't even had a moment to really talk about is there's some football games this weekend, too. Pretty big ones.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be on ESPN radio tomorrow. All right, that's fine.
Okay, great.
What? I'm just telling you, all right? I'm with Bob Valvano. All right, that's fine.
All right, so here's the four games tomorrow. Tell me where you're leaning, because we have to make our picks. By the way, everything is all tied up right now with a pathetic wild card weekend.
Well, it was,
and the show contest.
The one I almost pulled out is I'm the one that picked Green Bay.
Yes, you almost pulled that one out. That would have salvaged it. However, it's me that salvages it. Isn't that great? I'm enjoying that for this week. So we're down a game.
Down a game. All right.
Fine. And we're down a game to Drew and Allie from 94KX in the contest.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
So we have Seattle on Saturday hosting New Orleans.
Seahawks next.
I take the Seahawks as well. Saturday night, it's New England and Indianapolis.
Patriots next.
I take the Patriots as well. I don't think Indianapolis wins that one on the road. San Francisco, Carolina, the early game on Sunday.
Panthers, in fact, they'll shut them down.
I like San Francisco on that one.
Yeah, think they're going to score points against that defense? Have you watched Carolina?
Enough.
Yeah, not this time.
San Diego and Denver, the nightcap.
Denver, all four home teams next. We're done.
Denver. So you're going all home, and I'll take one of the roads.
Of course you will. That will be the one that will foul us up. All right.
Whoa. I'm the one that's keeping us in this right now.
You finished one game over 500 in the bowl season.
Yeah, that's probably about three more games over 500 than I figured I'd finish.
I mean, really? You're going to the farm show tomorrow.
Probably not.
What do you mean probably not? You told me you're definitely going.
No, I said I'll go earlier. I'll go earlier now.
You'll go earlier. I mean, can't you?
Because I don't want to miss the announcement.
You're going down to get Presque Isle booze. What's going on here?
Why do I talk to you? Why do I even talk to you?
It's a good commercial for
Why do I even talk to you?
Why? Because we're friends. We're buds. You tell me everything that's going on in your life. I know everything.
I have so few friends.
I am now tracking.
I need to find more.
I am now tracking a deer in the woods. And I'll text him back, really? And his phone goes, bing, and the deer takes off.
Actually, no, I was going to say, you just call. You don't even worry about that. You just call,
I call
instead.
I go, hello? Where's the deer? So you think you need more friends? I mean, running around town telling you that Jack Ham and I are your friends, and that you don't need anybody else.
Strangely enough, everybody's excited with Jack, but when I mention your name, nobody seems to care. They're like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Typical reaction.
Hey, next half hour, we'll take phone calls, but I also want to get your thoughts on a new head coach in Washington by the name of Jay Gruden.
Jay Gruden, great choice. Good luck.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brewers Outlet, they're the ones that take care of Friday, and that's a great choice heading into the weekend. Brewers Outlet, Pickle Bar. Kevin freely drinks the juice.
Good stuff.
There are moments where people think you're pickled. Oh, and by the way, Brian Tripp, whom I work with in State College, texted you that he will be your friend.
He's going to be my friend.
I feel like I'm dealing now with the Junta.
The Junta?
Che and Fidel trying to overthrow whatever.
We could never do that.
You'd need a power base to do it. All right, Brewers Outlet. Oh, great selection of beer, snacks, soda, fresh hot roasted peanuts. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
All right, so tell me now.
800-795-9565. 800, the consultant says we should do this. 800-795-9565.
And he'd be right. Here's what we haven't had a chance to talk about. The Washington Redskins' choice for their head coach.
You knew they were going to go with an offensive guy. You know darn well that the Bengals at least have been better, even though they can't get past the first round of the playoffs offensively. There are some in Washington who argue that they got the wrong Gruden.
Again, I think the problem was it was just the letter J and Gruden, and when they looked at it, hey, this is a great deal. Let's do it.
But, okay, who would you have picked?
I don't know. I just, if I were a Redskins fan, Jay Gruden would not excite me. It would not get me excited. I mean, the Bengals offense hasn't really done a whole heck of a lot in the playoffs when the money's on the table.
True.
Part of that may be the fact that the Bengals quarterback is as good as he's going to get.
Maybe true.
Maybe it's because the offensive coordinator didn't design a game plan that worked with their strengths. I don't know. I'm just saying, if I were a Redskins fan, I would be lukewarm to this hire.
Right. Okay.
It's not like you could say, well, he's developed this. Andy Dalton is an outstanding quarterback. He's taken him from nothing and turned him into a big-time NFL quarterback. No, it hasn't been that way. So it's like, okay, all right, are we on a budget? I think that's the first thing that I would have to ask myself if I were a Redskins fan. Are the Redskins on a budget?
My question is, then who would you hire?
I don't know. I'd have to look at those meetings. He must have been very impressive.
If you don't like this hire, then you tell me who you would have hired.
Well,
I hate when you ask questions like that.
Well, but here's the thing. It's like, Munchak, I don't know if that would have made me any more excited if I were a Redskins coach. If it were a different Gruden, yes. Ecstatic, ready to go. I'd be psyched if I were a Redskins fan.
He hasn't coached in years.
I don't care. If it was Bill Cowher, I'd be ecstatic if I were a Redskins fan.
Hasn't coached in years.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. There's a track record there.
Okay.
Jay Gruden's track record as coordinator has been
Okay. What was Bill Cowher's track record? Became a little bit up and down near the end.
Very true.
John Gruden's became more on the downside near the end. Two great coaches, by the way, I think. But I'm just saying, did. So I'm asked to look, John Gruden and Bill Cowher are off the table. You can't put them on the table. Neither one of them applied for a job. Neither one of them applied for a job. Both are very happy doing television. So, who would you have picked? It's one thing to go on here and say, bad choice, I wouldn't have picked him. Okay, then tell me who you would have picked. Give me a better alternative. Besides retired guys doing TV. I mean, really, I mean...
Well, the question is, who's available? I mean...
Exactly.
Who's available that I'm not thinking about? That's what I mean. I mean, who is it that's looking for a job?
Greg Roman of the 49ers.
That wouldn't be the worst idea.
Yeah, but you know what? Guess what? Guess where the 49ers offense finished this year? 24th. You sit there in stunned silence.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you do a show with a guy who's got a photographic memory. Takes all the fun out of everything.
You've already called me the fun sucker once today.
Sucks the fun out of everything. All right, let me spend some time thinking about this.
Ken Whisenhunt, okay? We know a lot of people want to talk to Ken Whisenhunt, but you don't want to talk about that. Okay. I think a guy that would have been perfect for them last year isn't available now, and that's Bruce Arians.
You know, do you go to the college level and pick up a coach there? You know, we're just talking about NFL guys. You know, maybe there's a guy at the college level that
James Franklin. How about James Franklin?
May or may not be available. We don't know yet.
Everybody's like, what?
We may know in less than 23 and change.
Come on, dog.
No, I don't know. I mean, there's people that get paid an awful lot of money decision. But I'm just saying, if I'm a Redskins fan, I'm not excited.
I just looked it up, by the way. The 49ers were 24th in total offense. So it is correct.
Yeah, well, like I doubted you.
I'm just saying, I want to make sure you know I didn't make the number up. Josh McDaniels. How about that one? Gary Kubiak.
I don't
not lighting your fire here, am I?
No. I mean, maybe a guy like, you know, Pete Carmichael. It's still not going to be overly ecstatic. That's a name that doesn't get me ecstatic.
You're just not there yet. I mean, it's Jay Gruden. Okay. You know where the Redskins offense ranked this year?
The Redskins offense?
Yeah. You know where?
27th.
A little higher.
I don't know. Give me a second guess. 25th.
A little higher.
20th.
No, a little higher.
I feel like I'm playing the clock game. Really? What? 17th?
A little higher than that.
10th.
A little higher.
Really? Really? They're in the top 10.
The Bengals were 10th.
The Bengals were in the top 10.
The Bengals were 10th, but the Redskins were. You can do this.
What? I guessed. I'm low at 10 for the Redskins offense?
You're not right. You're not there yet.
5?
Nah, I got to go higher.
Really?
9th.
9th.
The Redskins were 9th in total offense.
Yikes.
Look, Jay Gruden. Look, there are a lot of these guys. Look, okay, John Fox, Chip Kelly. Okay, all right. John Fox, the defensive guy. The Broncos. They got Peyton Manning, the number one. Chip Kelly's number two. Okay, we know Mike McCarthy, what he's done at Green Bay. They're three. Despite everything they had, they're three. Sean Payton, Mike McCoy in San Diego were five. Okay. Now you get to Detroit. It's going to be a whole new staff there. I got a feeling that Ken Whisenhunt's going to be the guy they're going to go with. Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, New England, 7. Mark Trestman at the Bears at 8. Shanahan's at the Redskins at 9. Jay Gruden at the Bengals at 10. Despite all the problems that Houston had, they were 11. Arizona, 12 with Bruce Arians, which is a jump up. Vikings, despite their various problems, were 13. Falcons were 14, Indianapolis 15, Cowboys 16, Seattle was 17. The Cleveland Browns were 18. Now, unless you want to go out and really go nuts with your offense and hire Mike Leach from Washington State, there you go, or Jim McElwain from Colorado State, good offensive mind.
Didn't Jim Caldwell interview too?
Jim Caldwell interviewed for Detroit. I don't know if he interviewed for Washington.
I thought
Jim
read Caldwell, that he interviewed over the weekend.
He very well may have. I know he interviewed with Detroit. Jim Caldwell would make a very good choice again as a head coach. It's no coincidence, I think, that the Ravens offense took off last year. And Cam Cameron, by the way, is an excellent offensive coordinator. We all know that. It just turned out maybe just a different voice, different time, whatever. But Jim Caldwell stepped in and did the play calling last year in the Super Bowl run. Let's see. Who don't you hire? Who's dead last? Tampa Bay. Anybody on that staff, gone. And then Jacksonville was 31. But I pity that coordinator. There's no talent. All right.
You know, and Ken Whisenhunt's a guy that I know hasn't had a ton of outstanding success as a coach, but I think there's potential there.
He was the head coach in the Super Bowl.
No, that's why I said a ton of success. I mean, I know he made it to the Super Bowl. I just meant, you know, he hasn't been year after year after year that kind of coach. But
sure,
I think there's a lot. I think there's a future with wherever he ends up eventually.
But whenever somebody brings up a comment, they hate it when I ask them the question, okay, what would you do?
But I didn't say I would hire. I mean, I'm not saying.
No.
What I said was, it doesn't excite me if I were a Redskins fan.
Then tell me who your alternative is. Who excites you?
All right, there, I gave you two. Ken Whisenhunt would have been one.
Okay, and I mentioned him right away.
And I've been a big fan of Ken Whisenhunt for a long time.
He speaks highly of you.
I'm sure he does.
And who else?
There's not a whole lot out there. I mean, I thought Lovie Smith would have been a good one, but he was already gone.
But he's a defensive coach. They want an offensive coach.
Yeah, but isn't that why you have an offensive coordinator?
Well, exactly. But I'm saying, though, he's a defensive-minded coach. Now, notice he hired Leslie Frazier already to join him down in Tampa. So,
but Jim Caldwell would have been one that I would have.
Jim Caldwell would be a very good choice.
That might be one that would excite Redskins fans.
Jay Gruden, he's the guy. Okay.
I still say that Snyder saw the first initial and got confused.
Who would you have picked instead?
I finally did give you some guys.
That took you 15 minutes.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't spend a whole lot of time researching who they interviewed and passed over.
You're the one that brought the topic up.
No, I said that I didn't think it would excite them, and I wanted your thought.
And I asked you, who would you have picked instead?
Yeah, well, you never did answer the question. What was your thought?
That he's been a good, solid offensive coordinator, and they went with an offensive-minded head coach because they have RG3.
On. No, that's not an answer. That's a cop-out answer. You're a Redskins fan. If you're a Redskins fan, who would you want to see in that position? Is it Jay Gruden?
I don't see any other alternatives that are very good right now, especially when you're actually wanting to hire an offensive-minded coach instead of a defensive-minded coach. I mean, Ken Whisenhunt would be my first choice because I think he has a much better proven track record. But also, part of that track record is going to deal with what you get out of RG3, because it is no surprise that Ken Whisenhunt's greatest success was with Kurt Warner as his quarterback. How often do we tie the quarterback into... I mean, this is where James Franklin's walking into Penn State going, I got Christian Atkins.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got to be sitting there just wringing his hands going, yes.
I mean, seriously, this goes back to the discussion I had about Manning 2 years ago on the show. We were talking about Manning, and you were baffled as to why I thought Denver was his top pick.
I did not see a cold city as being the choice.
And I said it was his fastest track to the Super Bowl. Guess what? What is Denver? And for James Franklin, the fast track to getting to the BC, the fastest track to a major bowl game, can't call it the BCS anymore, the fastest track to a conference championship, a major bowl game, and maybe into that college football playoff in the next 5 years is here at Beaver Stadium and not in Nashville. Yeah, Penn State's paying him a lot more money. The report is $4.5 million. Okay, I got that part. But you know what? I think this guy is a competitor. I think he's a winner, and I think he sees the fastest track to getting where he wants to go in college football here. And it reminds me very much of Peyton Manning's decision with Denver. Fastest track to winning titles. And that, in the end, is what it's about. Okay? In college, it's graduating them and winning titles. Graduating and winning titles. Notice which one I put first for all those who's going, oh, don't lose perspective there at Penn State. I've done this for 30 years. I know what the priorities are. Come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com.
Taking the punks a ton. All right, tomorrow 4:15 is the announcement. You're saying, why 4:15? What a weird time. Let me explain.
Oh, please. Oh, guru of the media.
There's a reason for it. Penn State basketball is at noon tomorrow. We're on at 11:30. Penn State basketball is scheduled to end at 2. There's a Big Ten Network game break from 2 to 2:15. Second game of the day is at 2:15, which ends at 4:15, which is the next scheduled BTN game break. With the next game, which is the women's game, coming up at 4:30. That's why they pick 4:15. That's when the BTN game break is. Okay? You say 4:15? Why they pick 4:15?
It'll be coming because up tomorrow at 4:14:30.
So that is the story. It's the story is
what? Wait. What happens if that game runs overtime?
Then Dave and Dr. Erickson are going to be standing up there juggling. I guess I don't know.
I was going to say, what is exactly? How long do they hold it? I wonder.
It's in overtime. What? You tell them to end it now. Miss some shots. Get it over with.
Everybody fouled out. Okay, we're done. Let's go.
I already did that game on Wednesday night.
Yeah, you did.
There's going to be an official suspended for that, by the way.
Ooh.
Okay. Tim Frazier. I'm not going to say which one. Tim Frazier's fourth foul was wrong. He doesn't touch anybody. He's behind the play.
Incorrectly charged.
And John Johnson's the one that hit him. Right? I mean, he's standing in front of him. I mean, he got run into, but he's airborne. It's a, you know, absolutely a blocking foul. Okay. So they go to the table. He looks back and he says, what number? He called 20. They looked at him and said, there is no 20 on the floor. All right. He goes. He looks back, and Tim Frazier was helping up John Johnson. He's helping him out because he's the one that got knocked out. He goes, oh, well, 23 there. The official was asked to go to the monitor 5 different times.
Yikes.
To make sure they got it right, and he refused to do it. Well, said he got it right.
That sounds like the right thing.
And one of the other officials kept saying to him, hey, I think you better check. No, I got it. No, I think you better check. No, I got it. And the third official was the trail guy, said, look, I didn't see it, so.
He was given an opportunity to correct it, and they did not work together the way they should have as an officiating crew. So, yeah,
well,
I think
not
that.
A, not a, no,
no, no, no.
It's not
I know it's
crew.
Not a
it's
crew.
One, it's one
right.
official.
Right, right. No, I'm right. Just saying. But
good guy, nice guy, the whole thing. It just, but. Suddenly, Penn State, Patrick Chambers told me straight out last night, he said, you prepare for every eventuality. We never once had run a play in practice without either Tim Frazier or DJ Newbill at point guard. He said, we didn't think they'd both foul out in a game. Who would think that? Yep. In a game, you need to have something like that happen.